Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. Used some of it as an illustration not long ago, but have just been plowing around in the passage. Sometimes we read so many things so quickly that we miss a lot of the good stuff that's in the passage. Now I'm going to read from the Living Bible this morning. The thundering diction of the King James.
Yes, sir.
Just to clarify those of you who had so little faith. Come all the way down, if you will, please. Verse number 22, the Lord has now dealt with the devil-possessed man. He departs and he begins to publish, even though the Lord tells him not to, as we talked about the other day. Look in verse number 22. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet. That's an unusual thing if you understand anything about Jewish custom and who this man is a ruler. He's expecting people to bow at his feet, but he would not be seen bowing at another's feet unless it was an absolute authority. And besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things, many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but grew worse, she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Brother Larry, you pray, would you please, and ask the Lord to help us? Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Can I just point out a couple of things that you see borne out in Mark chapter 4 and 5. Notice the great storm that takes place, a great tempest. And the Lord stands up in the boat and hollers, Peace be still. And then their boat comes to rest on the island of Gadarene, which reminds me to say, people won't always come to you. Sometimes you got to go to them. But you might have to go through a storm in order to get to them, because instead of you going through the storm, the Lord went through a storm for you so He could reach you. Amen. It's interesting, if you study that, you find storms in the Bible, and then you see when other people are watching as other ones go through storms, after that you see a great move of God because of what happened in the lives of other people. They're therefore able to minister. And when they rest there upon the devil-possessed shores of Gadarene there, the devil-possessed man comes running up there. But I want you to notice, if I could please, in the first couple of verses there, he says to you that this man was often bound with fetters and chains, and he plucked them asunder. That means he literally broke the chains off. He probably was somebody that had been in jail or prison before. Probably an escapee, probably somebody that the Bible said no man could tame him. In other words, if you were to look at this, this man is beyond being helped by modernistic ways of doing things. They even tried to bind him and couldn't hold him. They tried every physical, personal means that they could, humanly possible, to be able to get an opportunity to reach this guy. Nothing they did helped. Now you find him out in the tombs in a very dark, smelly, rotting place, and he's running around there. The Bible says, notice in the passage, he's crying and he's cutting himself with stones. There's some things in the Bible that we recognize. First of all, you need to realize in biblical interpretation, there's the law of first mention. Then there is another law of continual mention, and then final mention. So it generally will hold true all the way through. So if we see it the first time, and then we begin to see that there's a repetition of that, and then finally when it's mentioned again, it's there, it's generally holding true through the Bible. That's just a biblical interpretation thing that's safe. So the first time that you happen to see someone cutting themselves with stones, it's in reference to circumcision, which is a picture or a type of our salvation. What I see in this passage that I had not seen before is that this devil-possessed man is doing everything he possibly can, including crying. He's emotionally worked up. And he is also cutting himself, trying to cleanse himself from all the sin that he's committed, all the things that he's done. But even his own self is not able to get him clean. He needs a supernatural touch from God. And God happens to show up on the shore. Well, Mark chapter 5 is one of the richest passages in all the gospel because it has three different things that the Lord does. I mean, he not only takes care of the devil's possessed man, he's fixing to take care of the woman with the issue of blood, and he's fixing to raise a dead girl back to life again. If there was a place you ever wanted to just read a story and get a great narrative, that would be the place to go. But I want you to notice in this particular passage, it's interesting the anonymity of this woman in the passage. Is not by happenstance of the author that he didn't know her name, nor was it intended to say that the woman wasn't important. Whenever you see the author use anonymity, it is used for the express purpose of you inserting yourself into the passage and realizing that I left the name out so that when you need what she needed, you're able to put yourself where her name would have been, and the passage then becomes applicable to you.
Amen.
God didn't leave her name out there and thinking to herself, I forgot her name, she wasn't important to me, I can't remember. I mean, listen, this woman distinguished herself right off of the bat simply because she was willing to come for something that nobody else came for that was in the crowd. So the anonymity leads to an inclusiveness of me and you in the passage. Because the Lord is seeking for just one, no matter how big the crowd is. He's still interested in doing something personal for whatever problem you might have. The Bible says she had an issue. Hers happened to be an issue of blood. The Bible refers to it here in this passage on two occasions as a plague. Meaning some things often plague us. Some things often cause us great harm. Some things that just continue to bother us and bother us and bother us. No matter how much we say it's dead, we keep digging it back up, and that's why we keep talking about it.
Amen.
So what happens here is this woman who has gone through tremendous personal suffering, personal shame. There's no doctor that has been able to help her. All the physicians she's gone to see have taken her money, but they have given her no relief. Last time I went to a doctor's office, they don't give refunds if they're not able to find out your problem. I'm just saying, I don't get to go back. If I go to get my car fixed, it's not fixed, I can go back and say the problem's still there. At least I have some evidence. If I go into the doctor and say I'm not any better, he's going to say, did you take the medicine? And if I did, he goes, oh, well, we'll try something else. Well, could I get a refund? No. But I mean, I came to know we've already filed it with your insurance. We charged you four times more than it was. They're only going to pay part of whatever that is. And we'll send you a bill for whatever amount is left over after we're done with it. Because after all, medicine is nothing more than to us to be making money. Make no mistake about it. The Lord does give you some instruction. Not all doctors are bad doctors.
Amen.
You need to listen to me.
Amen.
She had been to see physicians, but most people camp out in that particular passage and say, yeah, she couldn't find any help. Well, maybe she went to the wrong doctor, or maybe she had a disease that the Lord was going to get glory out of after 12 years of her suffering. But don't take that the Lord's saying to you, you don't need to listen to doctors. Hey, trust the Lord and pray and go see the doctor.
Amen.
And if you don't want to, you say, well, I just think they're a quack. Okay, go to school for 12 or 15 years. After you get through with that, then go for another 7 or 8 years. And when you get one of them little white coats, I'll listen to you. I don't care how much WebMD you read.
Amen.
You're getting real, real tight right there.
Come on.
One of the things this lady had to overcome was the fact that her purity was in question, and probably, most likely, she would never be allowed to be married if she had gotten the disease prior to the time that she got before she got married. So here she is, she's bleeding, and she's broken, and she's bankrupt, and she has absolutely nothing whatsoever to offer the Lord. I'd like to say this about her, it's really sort of strange. She doesn't even have an invitation. Most people focus on the fact that she was sick instead of focusing on the fact that she got well. A lot of people are real good at going over there to 1 Samuel and finding the passage where Nathan puts his finger in David's face and says, "Thou art the man," and yet they miss one of the greatest dissertations by a preacher anywhere in the Bible, because what he does is poetically, he tells a story to illustrate a point. A lot of people wouldn't call that biblical preaching, yet it is biblical preaching because he is able so efficiently to establish his point that it puts David under conviction by telling a story. And David, when he says, "Thou art the man," it's as if God is putting his finger right in his face and on his heart and saying, "David, you're the guy in the story." That's the inclusiveness we find here. Oh, would you agree with me? She had a personal problem. She also had a people problem. It's in the passage. You say, why? He was followed by a great press. A bunch of paparazzi. A bunch of spiritual bloodsuckers. They're around Jesus. They want to get a photo op with Jesus. They want to spend some time with Jesus. But they don't really have any need for Jesus to fix. Because what it says about the crowd is nobody else in that crowd thinks they have a need. Because the Bible said there's one here that touched me, right? We're going to talk about her touch and her talk and her trouble and her tribulation and then her testimony and all that kind of stuff. I'm going from T's to P's to Z's. I'm going to be all over the place today. But you need to grab a hold of something. You need to understand that in spite of the crowd, the Lord was able to single out the one. So it doesn't matter how big the crowd is and how big the church is and how many millions of people or billions of people are in trouble today. The Lord's listening for that one that knows they have a need. This woman is desperate. Do you understand? This woman has had this disease for 12 years. Some people, if you read about it, they'll tell you that about the time for this woman to have the plague, the disease that she had, about the end of that is about 12 years before it would wind up taking her life. She is at the point number one, where she realizes, I have a problem that is bigger than me, and I need to do whatever I have to do to get to Jesus, because I need supernatural intervention with the problem I have. Amen. Wrestling with our own problems is a difficult thing. Amen. Realizing that we really do have a problem and not waiting for the preacher to point it out, and realizing, you know what? I need to have a talk with myself. Amen. The favorite person we love to talk to more than anybody else is me, myself, and I. But you better be careful, because sometimes me, myself, and I can be a little self-serving. Are we doing okay so far? Don't we all want to be recognized usually? I mean, at work we want to get recognized. At school we want to get recognized. If you have somebody who is an absolute idiot in school, won't apply themselves, is lazy, oftentimes that person will distinguish themselves by becoming a class clown. And everybody else laughs at them, but what that is a mask or a mirror to hide behind to, number one, get attention to themselves, but also because they don't want to admit, I'm lazy, and it's not that I can't do it, I don't want to do it. And so they become a class clown. They become the class show-off. They have a way of getting attention. We generally want to get ourself under the spotlight so that we can get all the attention on us, well, except for when it's like, I need the attention of Jesus because I got a problem. I'm going to say this woman is fixing to draw attention to her lack of purity. She is going to draw attention to the fact that her internal problem has created an outward manifestation. She is going to say, I've had something going on. Now look, if you were to look at me, you would say, she looks fine. She looks okay to me. Why? Because it's going on inside. If you were to look at the people in this church and you look at them right now, you know what you think? They're fine. Let me tell you this. They've been lied to like you have too. They've been talked about like you have. They've been hurt just like you have. Some of them are hemorrhaging right now in front of you and they're having a problem. And you know what you do? You just jump on the bandwagon because something happened and now you don't realize you're talking to a hemorrhaging person. This woman didn't need somebody else to jump on the bandwagon and play great physician with her. She needed Jesus to do something for her. And there were people in the way.
Amen.
You know what I've learned? I've learned oftentimes church people get in the way.
Amen.
I hate to say that, but I'm not talking about the world's people. You're not in the world. I mean, you may go out there in the world, but you certainly know better than to be messing around with worldly things, right? I mean, you know better than to fool with worldly ways. But you know what happens? Sometimes you go to church and like Hannah, you get your feelings hurt because you get accused of something you're not guilty of. That's a good excuse for you to get out if you're looking for a reason to get out. If you come looking to be offended, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find, as a friend of mine told me, exactly what you're looking for. I guarantee you, you're going to come in and you're already loaded for bear. Well, guess what? This woman's coming out and she's going to say, you know what? I've had some real pain, some real trouble, some real suffering, some real problems. I've been ostracized. I've been just like the demon-possessed man. I've been adjudicated already guilty. I'm unclean according to Leviticus and Numbers. I'm not allowed to be around anybody. Nobody talks to me. Nobody wants anything to do with me. But you know what? I need Jesus to do something for me. Boy, I'd like to, many people talk about to have the dying thief and cut out a little bit of his backbone and put it in. I'd like to have the backbone of this little old woman here, whoever she is, probably emaciated, probably very, very anemic. I've never had a disease like that. I'm familiar with anemia and those kind of things. She's had that thing for 12 years. You say, well, Jairus' daughter. Yeah, but Jairus' daughter didn't die till the end of 12 years. She hadn't been sick 12 years. He had the privilege of enjoying her for 12 years. This lady's last 12 years of her life had been miserable. You say, what was the plague? Don't let your mind run crazy with you. All you need to know is it something that she woke up with and went to bed with every single day. Every time she turned around, you know what happened? She was reminded about the fact that she was sick. And there were limitations to that sickness. And so she realized, I better do something or I'm going to die. It's time to make a change. You say, what do I need? I need Jesus.
Amen.
I need Him to do something for me that for 12 years I've tried everything in my arsenal and I have been unable to be able to get it fixed. Here's what you need to understand. This woman is at the end of herself where she does not care what everybody else thinks. She's not arrogant. She's not obnoxious. She's not being a jerk intentionally. She just realizes, if I don't do something, I'm going to die. Can I say this to you? Besides, like some of the brethren I know, they say, well, the devil is a lie. He is, but he is also a murderer. The Bible said he comes to seek and to devour you. He comes to destroy you. He comes to kill you. The devil will kill your joy. The devil will kill your vision. The devil will kill your future. The devil will kill your family. The devil wants you dead. The devil doesn't want you to be alive. You know what this woman said? This woman says to him, she said, listen, I know I've got a problem, and if Jesus doesn't intervene, I'm going to die. You know where some of you are this morning? You're kind of teeter-tottering. You got a problem, but it's not really bad enough for you to say, help me, Jesus. Do something for me, Jesus. I mean, the kids are out in the prodigal stinking far country. They're in the pig pen. My health is bad. My mental well-being is not good. But you're too full of yourself to say, I got a problem.
Amen.
We're good at saying, they got a problem. I mean, look at all of them. That was the crowd around them. Listen, when the Lord came up there, Bartimaeus is on the side of the road and he's saying, hey, I got a problem. The people are saying, hey, he don't deal with people around you. He hangs out with those who are problem-less. No. Jesus' crowd, he stops what he's doing because her touch spoke volumes. That girl needs something. That girl wants something. That girl's heart is broken. That girl's physical well-being is busted like a hummingbird's wing. That girl is in serious trouble. Who touched me? Man, I'd love for him to be able to say that about me. I'd love for him to say, man, I can tell you he touched me. Why? He needed something that only I could feel. He helped me with something that only I could get help, give him help for. He helped me over a hurdle that only he could jump. Hey, he got me under some things, over some things, around some things only God could do for me. But you know what? Everybody's kind of like, no, we're all good, man. Who touched me? Lord, are you, no offense, you getting half-timers or something? What? Everybody's around you rubbing up against you. Yeah, I know. All these people think they got it and all they're all that in a bag of chips. You think they're a bunch of independent Baptists. They think the problem's the community. They think the problem's the teachers. They think the problem's law enforcement. They think the problem's the government. They think the problem is everybody else. Have you ever listened to how you talk? Do you realize the power to overcome some things in your life are determined by what you say? You ever listen to what you sound? You sound like the people in the crowd. I got a whole message on the people in the crowd. But I can't do it tonight because I'm in the crowd and they might stone me. I used to listen to people. Of course, it's been a bajillion years ago. Now I'm positive it's probably changed. Have to go to these community meetings and we go sit down at the community. And everybody literally was pointing fingers at everybody else. Well, the problem's the educational system. The problem's not enough welfare. Well, the problem's they don't have this and they don't have that. And the problem's that not a single one of them said, I'd like to start this by saying, I'm part of the problem. Your walk with Jesus Christ comes after you're saved and before yourself to say, I'm the problem, and I don't care if everybody knows it. I got a problem. You want to get some sympathy? You want to get the wolves off your back? You want to get the dogs from around your table? You want to get them to have a little pity for you? Say, hey, listen, I appreciate it. I'm being bitten, devoured by a lion right now. I'm being tore up by the serpents right now. I'm being messed up beyond what you can possibly imagine. Would you get off my back? I admit, you're right. I'm the problem. My goodness, boy, a true confession revival would break out because you'd, Lord, be down there saying, man, all these people trying to touch me. Amen. You say, what touches people? It wasn't just the touch of her hand. It was her saying, I'm the problem. She said, man, that girl, a woman in Jewish time with a disease that is considered to be impure, unclean, would not dare touch a man, let alone a priest or a preacher. Amen. You say, why? That priest or preacher would be considered to be unclean. Yep. She is literally transferring her uncleanness to him. He takes on her filth and gives her back virtue. Yes. Yes. Takes on him the impurity and gives her back purity. That's what virtue means. That's what the word virgin comes from. Virtue, purity. Takes off on her brokenness on him and gives her back wholeness to her. You say, why? Because the Lord said, man, I'm impressed. That girl knows she couldn't have got to me if she hadn't got over herself first. Amen. I get sometimes that I get a little bit older, I get a little frustrated with Christians always making excuses. I find the biggest bridge they have to cross is the one over themselves. I find that ultimately when they're griping about everything else and everybody, I find ultimately they're like this woman. They are like the people in the crowd. They are not going to say, look, I don't care about all their problems. Could I say this about the woman we're talking about her sight? Could I say about her personal vision? She didn't have nobody but Jesus on her mind. She didn't let the press get in the way. Amen. Man, I wish I could preach because I'd preach that right there. You know, the number one thing that stands between you and God this morning is people. Amen. Hypocrites in the church. Amen. Somebody that did something wrong. Preacher said something about somebody and made you feel like he was picking on you personally. About some of your friends you're running with and the people you hang out with. Doesn't matter if it's true. It's all of a sudden, well, I'd go to the altar, but you know, they'd think I was down there agreeing that the preacher was right. Most of us let the press get in the way, and I don't mean media. I mean the press of prejudice. Yeah, I said it. You won't, but I said it. The press of you thinking you're better than somebody else because of your skin color. That kind of prejudice right there. The kind of prejudice that makes you think because you're a male that you're better than the female and that makes you something special. Amen. That's a braying donkey if I ever heard it. Amen. See, well, that's just how we believe around here. Amen. Well, go back to your cotton-picking redneck whiskey skill, you old unsaved, botched, messed up, fouled up thinking individual. You say, what is that? Well, that's just how I think. Well, we don't think like that around here. Amen. The press of politics. Who's going to win what race? like it's going to change your life. But that's not the real issue. The real issue is that you're wanting to believe you actually had enough impact to put somebody in there because of how valuable you are. Your candidate won. And you gave a dollar on your tax income to the presidential or whatever campaign fund. That's you putting him in there. I voted for him. That's why he got there. Yeah. Well, then me and you need to have a talk.
Yes.
Because some of the ones you voted for, they ain't really helping me too much.
That's right. That's right.
Take a little too much credit for yourself. Mm-hmm. The press of preferential thinking.
Yeah.
It's how I prefer it to be. What does the Bible say?
Right.
This is what I prefer. What does the Bible say?
Right.
We don't care what the Bible says. This is what I prefer. You can't get to Jesus for the crowd.
Right.
The press is in the way. And you don't have the backbone to press toward the mark and the high calling of God and to set your nose like a face like a flint and to put your nose to the ground by a grindstone and hunker down and push your way through the crowd. Why? Shut up! Leave me alone! I'm trying to get to Jesus. I ain't got no time for all this other. Why? I am desperate. I am dying. I have a serious problem. Get out of my way!
That's good.
Yes, sir.
But I know your problem's like, you know, I got plenty of time to sit in the waiting room.
Yeah, no.
I just sat in the waiting room. I'm good. I don't mind sitting in the waiting room. Let me show you how much of a liar you are. You ain't been in the waiting room 5 minutes. You want to know how come he ain't called your number.
That's right.
You the patient.
Yep.
He the physician. He works for you. How's that working out for you? You want me to show you how much you think it's about you? You walk in a restaurant, there's a waiting line. Not for me, there ain't. I'm here going to spend my money. Well, you can get in line to spend your money. And then when you sit down, how come they getting waited on for me? The press. The hypocrites in the church. Well, come on and join us. There'll be another. The press of people. You know I'm telling the truth. You can amen. That's okay. It won't scare me. You know one of the greatest tools the roaring lion uses? The press. They always got excuses for why you shouldn't go today. Don't get too carried away. Don't get too overwhelmed. Could I say this to you? This lady realizes I have got a problem that without Jesus helping me, can I say this? She had to be so stinking desperate that she said, if I don't get some help, I'm going to die anyway. Can I say this? You're never going to change your position. I'm using P's in life until you realize you are where you are until you're ready to get up and get out. That's not motivational. That's truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until you say, you know something, I don't care. I'm getting up. You say, where am I sitting? Well, I had this happen. I had that happen. All that. Oh, stop. Stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
You're looking at people that are beside you now. You think that they have always been what you see them now.
Right.
No. You have no idea what they've been through.
Right.
You don't have any concept. You got no idea. If I told you half of what these people in here that are all dressed up and got their heads polished up and got the hair fixed right and got everything trimmed to look nice and all that, driving nice, if you knew where they came from, you'd be sitting there thinking, I don't even know if I ought to be sitting here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, are they have not always been where they are now. They just are smart enough not to tell you about where all they've been in the past.
Amen.
One of the things that happens is, well, I'll never be like that. Stop talking about where you are and get up and go on.
Amen.
You say, why? Well, I'll never be what it. Stop comparing yourself to other people.
Amen.
There's the press.
Amen.
Well, I won't never be what there's. You don't know what you're going to be till you get off your blessed assurance. If that woman had stayed at the house and had not gone to Jesus,
Amen.
You wouldn't be reading about her right now.
Amen.
She had the courage of a lion and she got up and went on in spite of everything being against her.
Amen.
You going to let a woman outdo some of you men? Have more courage to step forward and say, I need Jesus.
Amen.
I got an addiction. I got a problem. I got a difficulty. I got something in my life, and it's going to kill me graveyard dead physically, spiritually, emotionally, if Jesus don't step in.
Amen.
Or you can just hang around in the tombs with the dead man. Because if I remember correctly, and one of you Bible students will have to help me, but I believe it said that when Jesus docked over there, that he ran and worshipped him. You know what the word worship is there? He submitted himself to him. He said, man, I saw you do something out there. I heard you say, peace be still, which he's going to say to this woman in a minute. He said, peace be still. He said, could you do that in here? You know what that guy said? He didn't say, he said, what's your name? You say, why? It's not that Jesus doesn't know his name. He wants to know, Big John, whether or not that man sees himself as he really is.
Amen.
He asked Bartimaeus, he said, what would thou have me do for thee? He said, Lord, I want my eyes. Not the Lord didn't see he needed eyes.
Right.
He wanted to know if Bartimaeus knew what he needed.
Right. Sure.
You know that's a big hurdle to get over.
Amen.
What do you want me to do? What's your real name? You know what the identification is in that passage is? What's your name? You got to see if they identify. Oh, Lord, I'm abused. I'm mistreated. I've been taken advantage of socially and economically. I didn't get my breaks in life. I was picked on as a child, dropped on my head, raised on the wrong side of the tracks. Don't have the metabolism other people do. Was never an athlete, not very good in academics. Lord, I'm just rotten and no good, full of self-pity and ignorance, Lord. And I know the Lord said, can't help you. Because you think the problem is everybody else instead of saying, my name's Legion.
Amen.
For we're many. But if I remember right, you know what he did? He came one down and he said, Lord, could you do something for me? In effect, what the Lord is saying to that devil-possessed man is, do you realize you're the habitation of devils because you opened up some doors and some windows and you did some things you shouldn't be doing? You didn't just get picked out randomly and all of a sudden we just said, we're going to take you and make you devil-possessed. You didn't just get your disease randomly. You know what the Lord's saying? Well, let me ask you a question. Why shouldn't I put the disease on you? I saved you in spite of you. But what makes you immune to all of that? Who are you, Jacob? Real quiet right there. The epitome of faith is when God does something we don't like. And we say, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content.
Amen.
I know how to abase and how to abound. Boy, that's easy when it comes to finances. But what about when it comes to your health?
Yes.
You wait till you get old. You'd be falling apart. You say, why? Happens in old age.
Amen.
Things start falling apart.
Right.
The only thing you're praying is, I hope they just don't all fall off.
Right.
Here goes my ears. Think I have leprosy or something. There goes my nose. There goes my belly. You know, everything just seems to go south. You can't put enough plastic in there to keep it from going south. It's going south. She recognized that she had a problem. She realized it and she recognized her internal issues had led to external problems. Struggle and strain and strife and trouble and trial and tragedy and tribulation and trauma. And you're looking at people in church and you don't see what's really going on.
Amen.
You don't realize when you see him that outwardly she's got the disease, but inwardly she's been bleeding for 12 years, sitting by people that are hemorrhaging. You got to cry sometimes if you're going to get to know God. You know why God lets trouble come in your life sometimes? He knows that wounded sheep eventually wind up in his lap. He knows that wounded sheep have a tendency to stay closer to the shepherd. So sometimes he allows trouble to come and trials to come because he wants you to come home. He wants you to realize the end of yourself. You know why old age comes on us? That's why Job wrote about it. Your teeth fall out and your eyes fail and everything about you is falling apart. You say, why? God's trying to say, how come you think you've been around? Because of your dietary habits? Because you've been working out? Or did you might want to pass that accolade somewhere up the chain here? Because I could have snuffed you out 100 times. Even by your own foolishness. Ran a stop sign, I had the other guy stop. Ran a red light, I had the other guy stop. Down that line it goes. About to step and mess up, and somebody's waiting around the corner to knock you in the head. And you, I forgot something. I don't know what I forgot. And you turn around and go, and you don't even know. Right around the corner. Somebody waiting around there to knock you in the head.
Yes, sir.
You'd have been dead, chewing on yourself, wetting your own diapers right now if it wasn't for God. Under you say you don't believe that stuff. You're a fool if you don't believe it.
Yes, sir. Come on, please.
You're an absolute fool. Absolutely. You're just a very arrogant, very proud, you know. I take care of myself.
Amen.
You know what God does? God lets you get broke down where you realize, God, if you don't help me, I can't get help. You say, what is that? I studied the disease a little bit.
Yes.
One of the things that comes with the disease is an inability to control your own strength. The disease. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Are you listening to me?
Yes,
I'm just checking. The disease. Controls the person. The person doesn't control the disease.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
I like to be in control, at least a little. And for God to allow certain things in my life I can't control shows me my own humanity.
Amen.
And to have a disease that tells me every day how I'm going to feel and how far I can go. And what I can do and what I can't.
Yes.
I'd like to, but I can't. Oh! You talk about sticking your pride.
Amen.
Preacher, we working on the roof today. That's 8 feet up in the air. That's a long climb on the ladder. Preacher used to climb 3 stories with 2 bundles of shingles. Yeah, the word there is used to. Preacher, that's a sack of fertilizer down there. Can you just grab one? You used to grab one in either arm. Now it's like, you got a dolly? You going to put that on a trailer? I mean, you got it carried all the way across the yard. I mean, I can look at it.
Yes.
You know what my body says? You can't do it.
Amen.
You know why God lets that happen? You know why some of you are in the condition you're in? Because God's just trying to say, if you'd pause for a minute, stop trying to do everything yourself. And let me help you make life a little better. But too proud to come to Jesus, aren't you? Self-made. Southerners bad about that. I'm a Southerner. I can talk about Southerners. To have a disease that makes its demands and I don't even get a day in court. I don't even get to say. No, you know what that disease does? It shows you the limitations of that woman's disease. She has been cut off from everything and everybody. She needs a lonely pill. I mean, because she's got nobody. Nobody can be around her. Her parents would have disowned her. Do you understand? They can't even come around her. It's like treating a leper. If anybody wanted to do anything, you know what they would do? They would put food at the doorstep and then they would leave. And they would make sure a witness was there so that nobody would say they went in there, because if they did, they became unclean and they had to go through all this purity stuff and so on and so forth. You know what's amazing to me is this woman didn't go to the priest to find purity. She just went directly to the source and he handed her the purity. But let's hurry. I can hear your stomach growling. Is it making any sense to you at all?
Amen.
The doctor can heal you on the inside so that you can have a manifestation on the outside.
Amen.
You know, one thing I've learned, Miss Barbara, is sometimes people are just mean and arrogant because they're bleeding to death.
Amen.
They're obnoxious. Mean-spirited, full of themselves. But the fact is, they're bleeding. They've been through trouble. Let me ask you a question. Has God ever delivered you from anything?
Amen.
I like the passage that says, weeping may endure for the night, Brother Jerry. Remember the last part of the verse?
Joy cometh in the morning.
But morning might be a long time coming.
That's right. That's
right. I didn't say you're not going to cry. You say, why? That's part of being a Christian. Part of getting tender. You know what would be real good for you? Is you just tell the Lord, I'm hurting. I'm hurting. I got a problem. You know, we're so full of ourselves. We're like Bible believers. We're never supposed to have a problem. I ain't got no problem. You know why people don't come to us with problems? Because we act like we don't know what problems are. Like we never had a problem. We don't know nothing about a problem. So why would they bring their problem? Look, I want to go to the doctor. Why? Because I think he might know how to handle my problem. But if I think that doctor's never seen any patients, I'm probably going to find somebody that has had seen patients that has had the problem I got. But you know how we act? People don't even talk to me. You ain't got no problems. You're perfect. Everything's going great for you. Marriage is perfect. Kids are perfect. Finances are perfect. Job is perfect. I mean, every time you talk about it, your hair's perfect. Your suit's perfect. Everything about you is just perfect. And people are like, hey, I can't be around him unless I'm perfect. That's probably some of you don't have any friends. You say, why? There ain't a whole lot of perfect people. So, well, we've seen some of your friends. Yeah, you have. You can tell a person by who they hang out with.
Right.
You say, who you hang around? People had problems.
Yeah.
And people that had them and still have them.
Amen.
And people that had them, got over them, and got some more.
Amen.
You say, what happened to her? Well, I'm going to show you here in just a second here. Just give me a minute or two. When God's done something for you and delivered you, then you have that moment where you can say, here's what he used to do, did for me. You know, the Apostle Paul, of all the things he could say, is he talked about what he used to be and what he is now.
Amen.
You know, one of the greatest ways of witnessing is just tell people what Jesus did for you.
Amen.
People tell me all the time, say, well, I'm not really much of a witness. You know what you just said? Well, he didn't really do anything for you. Oh, well, he saved me. There's that. Yeah, well, yeah, there's that. How about we start right there? Could you tell me what he saved you from? Hell, could you tell me why you were going there? Well, because I'm... Excuse me? Pardon me, I didn't hear you.
Amen.
Well, I was...
Yes.
What do you mean you were?
Yes.
I came to him as a sinner.
Right.
I left as a saved sinner.
Amen.
Let me tell you what he did for me.
Amen.
You have to give him all the filthy, nasty details.
Amen.
But this woman, buddy, you talk about hanging her laundry out in public. Old Southern tradition. Don't air your laundry out. You ain't going to get far with Jesus that way.
Amen.
Am I helping anybody in the back at all? Anybody getting any help? How about in the balcony? You ready to take that leap of faith? Brother Ernie said, I will, but I might break something. One of the reasons that our church has fallen silent is because we've ceased to be a church where people have problems.
Yes.
I've spent a lot of time in emergency rooms, Brother Sam. Not because I like to go hanging out, ghoulish thing, can't wait to see blood, you know, like y'all pull up on the highway and it's like, I'm like, could y'all just go, pull over, walk down there on the median and go gawk, take pictures of it. Could you just move out of the way?
Yeah.
It's just like, it's frustrating, but at any rate, I've been in a lot of emergency rooms. And they're full of sick people.
Yep.
Here it comes. This is just peacock wisdom. Do you know why? Because they think the hospital has a doctor or nurses that can help them. Do you know how many nurses we have here? And if you were hurting like last week, when Little Bit wound up with whatever was going on there, and all of a sudden the nurses come out of the shadows,
right,
and when everybody else is, they're like, okay, let's do this. We call rescue. They come running in here on their Sunday. You know what they could all say? I went to church yesterday.
Yeah.
Where were you yesterday? I was in church.
Amen.
Now listen to me. Watch the analogy. You know why people come to church? The same reason people come to the hospital.
Yes.
they don't come here because they're well. They come here because sometimes they're sick.
Amen.
You get to be the illustration. Brother Brad's a good man. Pure as a driven snow, lived at the foot of the cross. Now he's like, oh, don't do that. I preached a message one time. I won't tell you what. You listen to me, man? You with me? Listen.
Yes,
okay, just check it. Tears welled up in his eyes. He's not real emotional. You'll see him every now and then. That's even at a 90-degree angle. He's right there. Every time. And it won't break the 45. It'll be.
Amen.
He geometrically has that figured out. I like it. It's as good as Brother Larry kicking.
Amen.
Really. That's Brother Brad. He's not. I'm not trying to turn him into Brother Larry. That's fine with me. But you know he's not real emotional. Well, take up a big penny parade and he's kind of like, wow. I'm glad he's that way.
Amen.
But he came back into the back. Puddles up here. Here's what he said. Wow, preacher. Wow. That was rough. I said, well, amen, brother. He said, I'm glad I'm not past the Lord dealing with me about things I didn't even know I had wrong.
Amen.
He said, what'd you do? I said, well, amen, brother. I don't even know what part of the sermon he's talking about. I'm thinking, I thought you had all those things right, brother. I'd have been, you're fired. No, I didn't. I want you to hear what he said. I'm glad that I was in the right place for the diagnosis so that I could get a prescription before it became an incurable disease.
Amen.
Sometimes we come to the hospital and we don't even know we're sick. A long time ago, I was sick. I got just a little bit of thing going on. And the thing was is that I was checking somebody out because my friend was sick and I was doing a bunch of research for him and trying to get some things together, where he should go and who he should go and what all that other kind of stuff like that. And so my wife was having some problems at the time, and so I took him to see this doctor up north that we know. And while I'm there, my friend, unbeknownst to me, picked up the phone and said, while you're there, I said, I'm good, I'm fine, I feel great, everything's wonderful. I'm here for her, I'm getting some information on you, and I'm good to go. He called the stinking doctor. He said, you want me to continue my treatments? He said, I do. Then you make him take these tests. He pulled the friend card.
Right.
Do something for me, bro. I'm like, Well, many of you know that when the doctor came back, it wasn't with a, it was a, we got a problem. Houston, we have a problem. And I was there because I thought I was fine and she was sick. We left there and I was sicker than her. Do you see the picture?
Yes.
Sometimes you come and think you're well.
Right. Right.
And everybody around you
Amen.
Is sick.
Amen.
And the Lord said, you're sicker than they are. Now watch, the woman comes. Notice what the Bible says, and I won't run the references, I know we're past 12, but she has that physical problem, the people problem, we talked about that, purity, personal issues, painful, no peace. She's got a purposeful intent, she's wanting to reach out and touch him. I want to give you about four things about her. I want you to notice in verse number 28, she talks to herself. She says, if I can just touch, in the other passage, the hem of his garment. You know, it's a strange thing about the hem of his garment, Brother Josh. You have to go read in the Old Testament about that. But in the Old Testament, the hem of the garment was actually associated or affiliated with the identification of the person wearing it. This will become important later. Many people call it the Jewish tzitzit, which are little strings that are tied together. They have five little knots in them, and then they dangle down. And of all those knots, they're tied on all four corners of that little prayer shawl they have. I'm not so sure that Jesus would have been wearing that, but I do know this, that the hem or the border of the garment, the Lord told him in Numbers to do that, and it was to distinguish them from everyone else, but it was also to identify them. So you remember that when Boaz was told by Ruth to put the skirt over him, that wasn't something vulgar or rude. That was saying, I want you, Boaz, to identify me with you. I want to be under you. I want to be under your name, under your covering. So the Lord in the New Testament uses it like healing in his wings. I would have gathered you like a hen gathers a chick and put you under my wings. It's like, I want you to be identified with me. So what would have happened is that he would have had this garment on. And so what she in effect is saying, if I could just touch the hem, you have to get the other two parallel passages over there, Matthew and Luke. If I could just touch the hem of his garden, I know who he is. The hem of his garment identify, I know he is the Messiah. If I can just touch, if I can just recognize, not this point of contact stuff. Why? Because the Lord said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Faith in what? Faith in the robe? No. Faith in who it is wearing the robe. I know. I want to be identified with you. You are him. You're the Messiah. You are the one that has come to bring healing in his wings. If I can just get there and touch that spot right there, recognize who you are.
Yes.
I know I'll be made whole. I'll be healed. Well, she talks, she touches. Would you agree that, look if you will please, in verse 33, the woman fearing and trembling, the Lord's turned around and recognized her. She's got his attention now. Done this thing, the Lord says, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, she's already well, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. I like the fact that she has a testimony. Lord, when I came to you, you with me, Big John?
Oh, yes, sir.
Lord, when I came to you, I was broke, bleeding, busted, good for nothing, impure, unclean, sorry, rotten. You hear me? You listening, big man?
Yes, sir.
You hear me up there, Brother Dan?
Amen.
Busted all to pieces when I came to you. Who touched me?
Yeah. Amen. Oh.
Me.
Amen.
But Lord, when I touched you, I was changed. I already knew what you did for me. You're not going to take it back, are you? I'm not going to start bleeding again, Emma. I'm not going back to that emaciated condition again, Emma. She feared. I know I touched him. I know my uncleanness has Levitically defiled him. But I know I felt him when he healed me. The blood stopped. I was clean. Something changed. Something clicked. She knew she had been made whole. And the Lord said, peace. You ain't got to worry. I'm not going to take back what I gave you. Your healing is complete. You're whole. If that girl had kicked off right there, she'd have gone right to Abraham's bosom right there, guaranteed.
Yep.
You say, why? He don't take it back once you get there.
Yeah.
I like her testimony. Lord, I was the one that had that. Lord said, yeah, I know. She said, but I don't feel like that no more. I'm not hemorrhaging anymore. Whew. Boy, a peace that that girl had been looking for 12 years flooded her soul. I think, listen, man, I think you know what she did right there? I think she just built her altar right there. Jewish people. Bethel, you got to build an altar, right? Go there and build an altar, right? So I think she's like, put me down a rock.
Yeah.
I'll put me down an Ebenezer Stone.
Amen.
I'm things that just kind of like come out of my skin right now, because if you knew what was running in my mind, I'm about halfway across the top of them pews back there to Miss Teresa.
Amen.
I'm going to put down a marker. Every time I go by that marker, I'm going to say, man, look what Jesus did for me. I came to him broke and bleeding and busted, and I left. The Bible says whole. That means he restored more than she had to begin with. Wasn't just made better, was made whole. Replaced what the moth had eaten and the canker had destroyed. 12 years of her life, I think, was restored. What did she take, preacher? She took wholeness. But I want you to notice what he says in verse number 34. He said, go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Papa used to say, be shed of it. Be shed of it. That means you're done with it. Psst, done with it. You know what she was left with? Testimony. Mine and your testimony ain't in there. When you get to heaven, you know what's going to happen? You're going to meet her. She'll probably come up to the great white throne. Saved before Calvary. Just making sure I'm dispensationally correct. Said, who are you? She goes, oh, you surely don't know my name. He never put my name. But you might know my issue. You might know me by my disease. Because you would have never known I had been made whole if you had never known I was sick. Wow, it's almost like sick people get God's attention. People with problems get God's attention. It's funny how the Lord seems to hang out with people that need a doctor. Lord, I went everywhere. You're my last hope. The Lord say, well, better late than never. You know what He'll do for you today? I don't know what your problem is. I know this. It ain't too big for His shoulders. I know this. You're not here by happenstance. You know what I know? I know we're right where we started. Listen to me. I'm almost done. You know what I know? In a crowd this size, there's probably one or two individuals. You know what they'll say? Preacher, I got a problem. Preacher, I need some help. Preacher, can you go find the doctor? I can tell you the doctor I'm talking about is always in. You don't need an appointment.
Amen.
All you have to do is come down here and say, Lord, I got a problem. He'll take it from there. You'd be surprised. You would think He was teaching you the test. He'll start talking to you in a way that you can't flunk that test. He will point it out and say, now, what's the next answer to this one? You know this, don't you? What is your problem? Well, Lord, TK and Larry and Brad, like I said, and what is your problem? And the preacher and his wife and them Sunday school teachers. What is your problem? And Brother Sam and the young people. And what is your problem? Okay, Lord, it's me. Finally. Hallelujah. Now we can get somewhere. Because I'm not interested in helping them. I'm interested in helping you. Miss Pat's going to come play. The invitation's not for the masses. Although masses may come, I couldn't tell you. You know what it is? It's for the individuals. It's for the individuals. You don't have to wait. We don't have to wait for the organ to go. It's for the individuals. You know what I know? I don't know what your problem is. I just know the one that can help you. I just know people are coming. Come on. She's not even started playing yet. You got a problem? Bring it to Jesus. Come through the crowd. Press your way through. Don't let people hold you up. Nobody's looking around. They're thinking about themselves the same way you are. Don't worry about that. Come on down here. Let him help you. Don't worry about that. She's, oh, I'm unclean. I'm impure. Doesn't matter. Find you a spot. Find you a spot. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. People are praying. God spoke to you. Don't wait. Get up and come on. Come on. They're still coming. Come on. Lord me, I got a problem. I got a busted family. I got a broken heart. Lord, I got a physical ailment, a physical disease, a mental problem. Lord, I need some help. My grandkids, my kids, my friends. Help me, Lord, help me. Me, Lord, me. Get his attention. If you're here today and you're lost, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today's the day of salvation. He came by your way. You know what he said? Any man who was thirsty, let him come unto me and I'll give him a drink. You know what he said? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know what he said? He said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as snow. You know what he said? If you'll come unto me, I'll in no wise cast you out. You know what he said? He said, listen, I'll gather you like a hen gathered her chicks, but you got to come. You got to come. I'm coming to you in the voice of a preacher. I'm coming to you in the record of a book. I'm trying to help you, but you got to come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. They're still coming. They haven't stopped. God did this for you. You're that woman. You're hemorrhaging. You're bleeding to death. You're worrying about something. Something's just eating you alive on the inside. Just tearing you out of the frame. Come on, God spoke. Come. Come now. Talk to him about it. I can't relieve your burden. He can. I can't heal your sickness. He can. I can't resolve your problem. He can. But you got to give it to him. You got to give it to him. Folks are still coming. If you want to come, you come. We're in no hurry. No hurry at all. How do I come? Just like the song. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. If you're saved and blood bought, you come down here and say, Lord, I want to confess my sins and get clean, and now I got a problem. Well, preacher, I just don't want to be the one to bring a problem. He got her attention. The anonymity of the woman is so you can insert yourself in the passage. It's there on purpose. It's there intentional. You're probably watching. You're probably listening. You might have should have even been here today. You're watching. You're listening. And the Lord's saying to you, you, I know where you are. You don't have to be in the church house. I know you got a problem. Do you know you have a problem? Maybe you make an altar right there like the woman maybe did in the middle of the street. Maybe it's on your couch. Maybe it's on the end of your easy chair. Maybe it's down there and nothing but your PJs or your skivvies or whatever. And you're down there and God's dealing with you now. And all he's looking for is a bent knee and a bowed head. And for you to say, Lord, me. Heads are continued to be bowed and eyes are continued to be closed. And if you'd be honest with me this morning, could I ask you this question? And just by uplifted hand, you can say, preacher, I know I got a problem. Could you just raise your hand and put them back up? They're all over the building, all over the building, all over the building. Thank you. Put them back down. Well, I wish I had answers for everybody's problems, but I know the man that does. And I can introduce you to him. And I can tell you whatever that problem is, I can promise you, he can help you. You just have to be willing to admit, I got a problem. Kids, school's already started. You've been a week or two. You're already dealing with pressure beyond anything you can imagine and difficulties and problems. Anxiety is through the roof. You need supernatural help and intervention. She's going to play one more stanza. Folks are almost done here at the altar. We're in no rush. The girls are up here praying together. Husbands and wives have been here praying together. Families have been praying together. That's the way to get his attention. Lord, I want to put me in the passage. I'm hemorrhaging. My fellowship is draining out. My relationship is all but gone. I'm anemic spiritually. I'm dying on the vine. Jesus, help me. Help me. Jesus, help me.